Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your hosts, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts.
Thanks for joining us for episode 6, another very special episode, sort of.
If it's your first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back.
TMF? Nope. Tiny Morbid Fantasies is now available on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so welcome back to our regular programming. Thank you for listening to our reading of a true crime last week. How was that?
Murder Island.
I miss it. That was fun.
I miss looking up murders.
Yeah.
I still do, though, because of all the crime podcasts I listen to.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I definitely saw the... I can't remember. The Zac Efron movie, and I can't remember its name.
The Ted Bundy.
The Ted Netflix Bundy, movie. Yeah. Zac Efron was terrifying. I wanted to punch him in the face.
He did well.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people, but the point of the movie wasn't to show Ted Bundy's kill. Like, we know
all
his killings and his murders. It was from his girlfriend's point of view, that other side of him. I can't think of it.
His persona.
It's the domestic side of him.
Yeah.
How he took care of his girlfriend and her kid.
He was a breakfast. Air quotes, normal guy.
Exactly. So I was reading something today that said, some people, because of that movie, feel like Ted Bundy might not have been guilty. I was like, oh, you fucking idiots.
No, but the thing is.
He was definitely a psychopath.
Did you see his picture with, like, the biker stash in Florida? Anyway, I digress. This isn't about him.
But real quick,
yeah.
Whenever I look at serial killers, and I'm just like, of course he's a serial killer. He has a mustache and a receding hairline.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's probably got some ladies in his basement.
Oh.
Anyway.
But you know who doesn't have any facial hair and things like that? Israel Keyes.
Oh, fuck that guy. I just listened to a podcast about him, too.
Crime Junkies?
No.
Oh.
Morbid.
Oh, they both
Morbid, a true crime podcast. They did a two-parter, and it was fucking hilarious, but also, you know.
Yeah. Shout out to Crime Junkies and Morbid Podcast. What's up?
They make it entertaining, but also they don't, like, belittle the actual horrifying facts, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're drinking today.
Cheers.
Cheers. We're recording tonight because my husband's birthday is this weekend. It's Friday night. We usually record on Sunday, so.
So welcome to the wind down.
Tipsy Friday.
Tipsy Friday.
Welcome.
And happy Friday. And Happy Mother's Day to all of you people with mothers and who are mothers.
Yep. I have 4 kids. 2 cats. 2 dogs.
Those are your kids.
Fight me.
Okay. For a second, I was like, are you going to lie to our audience?
No, children are the worst, but good on you if you can do that.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'll adopt somebody else's at some point, but that's it for me.
Still looking for a nice 22-year-old to adopt. The age has gone up. It's 22 now.
Okay.
They can legally drink.
Look, I'll go with it.
Anyway.
So we went on a special trip last week just for this, and we picked out some wines that were kind of on theme. So Andrea bought a local wine from Valenzano called Harmony, and I got Witching Hour Red Blend. And I'm really excited about it. It's not great, but...
It's not terrible.
It isn't. It's a good, solid wine.
It's not vinegar.
Can you put that at the end? It's not vinegar.
It's not as smooth as I would like it to be, but it's also not as harsh as some $4 wines we've tried. So, there.
Yeah, I can keep drinking
this
swill.
It's in the middle ground.
Yeah, that's fair with me. So, this episode, I wrote a story called Fun and Games.
Is it about a carnival?
It is not. I think you need to write a story about a carnival, Andrea.
I feel like carnies are too obvious. Of course they're creepy. They're carnies.
So this is Fun and Games, and full disclosure, I have been drinking. From the time they started working together, they would play games to pass the time. Working at a self-storage company wasn't exactly a thrilling or fast-paced work environment. The night shift was long, but required a security guard patrolling the grounds and a desk clerk for customers. Since they were the only two people on shift together, it was inevitable they would become friends. maybe not the type of friends that hang out after work or on weekends, but the kind you make when work is dull and time is abundant. Sam would usually keep a deck of cards in his pocket, and Abby brought a travel-sized board game set in her bag. They made efforts to learn as many card games as possible, but they usually just played War. Abby hated losing and banned Sam from starting up a new game of poker. His poker face was too good for her to read and find any weaknesses in. In the winter months, they relied on the security cameras to watch the lot while they stayed warm inside the office. The cameras covered the lot from the front entrance gate to the rear fence. Knowing that they could see the whole lot gave them the bit of freedom they needed to stay warm and take it easy during the night. During the spring and summer months, they would hang out with each other outside. Anytime the units were emptied, Abby and Sam would go through the contents and see if they could use anything for themselves. They ended up with a mismatched but still complete patio set, complete with an umbrella to block the sun. The nights were shorter in the summer, and it was nice when they could relax and see the sunset and rise while on shift. On really nice nights, they would turn the security screens toward the window to make sure they could still monitor the lot. It had been just a year before the games started to bore them. They outgrew the games and started to look for other ways to entertain themselves. It wasn't long before they started daring themselves to do silly things. When this trend started, it was harmless little things like messing with customers and using different accents for a week straight. The escalation was slow, but their dares grew from your run-of-the-mill harmless pranks to eventually trying to sneak in ways to drink on the job. Both of them had their own lives and used this job as an easy way to make money, take it easy, and not work too hard. The drinking was a way to take the edge off. They tried designating it toward the end of their shift, but neither one of them cared to police themselves and take away the fun. The day that Sam brought a joint to work was when they stopped playing games and walked around the lot to pass the time. At this point, the job itself was becoming a nuisance. The customers usually didn't require much attention. Every once in a while, someone would lose a key to their lock and Sam would have to go and cut it off for them so they could get in. Around the beginning and end of the months, there would be a slight upturn in traffic when units were being cleared out or moved into. This didn't affect Sam or Abby too much. The customers pretty much went about their business and knew what to do. The customers making more frequent visits were put into a few categories. The business owners stashing their stock of products, the real estate agents with their staging furniture, collectors and hoarders, apartment hunters, divorcees who need to downsize, travelers, and then the crafty, need to get out of the house type of men. Of course, then there's the mysterious types, the ones that you barely see. The ones that pop by on the very rare occasion to drop something off or grab supplies. They usually mind their own business and don't need any help. Those are the kind of customers Sam and Abby liked. They required as little help as possible and had long-term units. Mostly it was just fathers finding a way to get away from their families and revisiting their old things from their bachelor days. You know, the kind of toys and things their wives don't want in the house. It was midsummer now. The sun was setting around 9 p.m. this time of the year, and both Sam and Abby took their twilight walks before it got dark. Sam was joking around with Abby, and they took their time as they walked the lot. They were in no rush to get back to the office. They reached the last row of units in the lot. About halfway down the row, they noticed that the lock on one of the units hadn't been clicked shut. As Sam reached for the lock, Abby grabbed his hand and said, "Don't. Let's see what's in there." Sam was a little too curious and a little too stoned to put his foot down. Besides, he'd always wanted to peek inside someone's unit when they weren't moving in or out. They both looked around and waited a moment in case someone was driving into the lot. They didn't hear anything. The gravel around the lot would alert them if anybody was there. Sam shrugged and with that, took the lock off the unit. He reached down and lifted the door up. It was dark inside the unit, so Abby grabbed her phone to turn on the flashlight. As she waved the light around the unit, she noticed the light switch and walked over to turn it on. Now that they could see the whole unit, it looked like a workshop. Lining the walls were metal shelves full of supplies. Near the back corner was a pegboard and bench with different tools hanging from it. Each had a white outline indicating the spot for that specific tool. Sam took a few steps toward one of the shelving units and poked around all of the supplies. There were cleaning supplies and bleach on the bottom of one of the shelves. And the next one up had bags of lime stacked in two piles. The shelf that was eye level to him had brand new tarps still in their clear plastic packaging. Sam went over to the next shelf and noticed a few jars full of what looked like fluff. He reached out to examine one of the jars and brought it closer to his face to try to figure out what it was. It was stuffed with different shades of brown. Abby turned toward Sam and gasped, registering what the contents were almost immediately. The jars were filled with locks of hair. There was a jar for each color, blonde, brunette, and red. The brunette jar was jam-packed full of different shades and types. Sam slowly turned toward Abby, and as he did, his eyes stopped on the corner of the unit where the pegboard was. He saw a red light slowly blinking on and off. There was no other recording equipment except for that very small camera. Sam knew that meant it was a live feed to whoever put it there. In their shock, they didn't hear the gravel as the owner of those jars approached his unit. The hair on Abby's neck stood straight up, and a chill ran through her body as the man approached. With one swift movement, he grabbed Abby's hair with one hand and covered her mouth and nose with a rag soaked in chloroform with the other. He gently placed her body on the concrete floor and walked toward Sam as he was still staring at the camera. He took the rag up to Sam's face just as Sam started to turn around. As soon as Sam saw the man's face, he felt a pain as the man plunged a knife deep into Sam's stomach. Clutching his wound, Sam sank to his knees in pain and shock as he bled out. He could barely hold an arm out to stop the man from putting the rag up to his face. The man walked toward the door of his unit and shut Sam and Abby inside, this time securing the lock. He got straight to work and cut the feed to all the cameras on the lot. Once that was done, he headed to the office and deleted all the video files from that day. His truck was idling at the entrance to the lot, and he hopped in and drove back to his unit to get rid of Sam's body and finish killing Abby while she was still passed out. He cleaned out the unit and wrapped their bodies in tarps for easy disposal. He snipped off chunks of their hair before he loaded them into his truck bed. He'd wait until the blood dried to go back and clean it up. When the morning shift arrived to work, there was no trace of Abby or Sam. Their cars were still in the same spots as usual. The only trace left of Sam and Abby were their locks of hair hidden in a jar in one of the units in the back row of the lot.
Wow. Theme. I like it.
Thank you. I knew you would.
Interesting.
More,
So I don't trust those places. I don't trust anything, though.
And you're on the night shift at a storage unit place? Come on. Come on.
I've heard stories of people living in those things. Top yourself off first, because I drank this whole glass of wine while you were reading.
Okay.
I hope it didn't look like I wasn't listening, because I was listening.
Well, I'll do it to you when you read yours.
Exactly.
We'll be even.
In part two or next episode.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, for this one, so no tiny morbid fact, right?
No, so that one just, like, came to me in a snippet, and it's like,
it's more like a daydream.
Yeah, like, what if you had to store your stuff at a place? Like, what else is going on in there? Do you want to know?
Worst case scenario, sometimes when I think about storage places, every time I pass them, I was like, I could probably live in one of those if I had to.
If you had to.
Worst case scenario.
$50 a month, you know.
They have the units that are temperature controlled, and you have to make sure it's one that has ventilation, because they don't all have ventilation.
You would need a water source, too.
So my plan, for some reason, I always plan, like, what if I'm homeless, or what if I lose my apartment and have to live in my car?
Look, it's not bad to, like, plan these out.
You get a gym membership. Planet Fitness. $10 a month.
Shit.
On top of what? A $50,
$60? $60 a month?
I think on the high end, it might be like close to $100 a month.
You know?
Also, apartments are thousands of dollars a month, so a couple hundred a month for a storage unit living is not that bad.
It's the new tiny home.
The new illegal tiny home.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I had to. I don't know where I would go to the bathroom. I'd probably come up with, like, a camping
chamber pots
bucket situation.
Yeah.
They have, like, the special little
the
camper buckets.
Ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I watch Tiny House.
Environment. I got it. And just take it and, I don't know.
Compost it. Did you know that that's called night dirt?
I'm sorry? What?
Actually, okay. Tiny morbid fact. Composting human feces is called night dirt.
That's interesting.
I'd like,
why do you know this?
Well,
why the fuck do
okay,
you know this?
So number one, I want to fact check what I just said.
Night dirt.
Night.
I had dirt. A dream similar that involved night dirt.
Ooh.
It was like a farm. You just
night soil.
Okay. Same thing, basically.
Yeah. No, the reason I know this is because my husband told me that, did you know?
Did your husband poop a garden?
I don't think so.
Just kidding.
No, we were talking about something unrelated about how cow manure, how a farm used cow manure to re-spread around its...
crops?
Yeah. And then Ronnie told me, you know what it's called when you compost human feces? Night soil. Hmm. And that's how I know that tiny morbid fact.
Well, I knew that human feces could also grow vegetables.
Could.
You know why?
No.
Because in a house we used to live in, the septic system had a leak, and my brother ate a lot of tomatoes, and tomato plants grew out of where the septic system was leaking. Because did you know, maybe tiny morbid fact, and I'm too drunk to Google, but the human body can't really break down tomato seeds. So it just pushes them out, and there's a full fucking tomato plant growing up. It was gorgeous. We didn't eat those. I know that's where you're... No, we didn't eat the human poop tomatoes. But I was like, that's amazing. It was like a very, like, thick grass was growing up there. And then the plant came out the middle. We're just like, why is... Like, as we were mowing the lawn, we stopped and looked at it.
You
and
admired
just,
this poop plant.
Why is this one section of lawn so lush and thick? And then we just kind of like got closer and was like, oh, there's a leak. We should call someone about that. So you couldn't even mow the lawn either because
you'd be
shooting poop water everywhere. But it made the grass so green.
I mean, it makes...
Anyway.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, yeah. Night soil.
Night soil.
I knew about it before I knew the term.
Yeah, that's relatable.
The more you know.
Do-do-do-do. Deke.
I'm gonna find that music. I hope it's not trademarked because we're using it.
That company doesn't exist anymore. Don't worry about it.
The more you know, Star and Rainbow, whatever the fuck that was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but great story. Used the word unit a lot.
And I
didn't giggle at all.
I know.
I'm an adult.
I told you about it beforehand. I was like, I will say unit a lot.
You did, and then I forgot. Yeah. And then you said it. And I was just like, jeez. Really into units.
I didn't do too much editing on that one. I think I'm drunk enough to say that.
I enjoyed it though. I thought it was a good story. It was nice. It was spooky. And the tiny morbid, like the intrusive thought was, you know, how you feel when you're passing through, not passing through, but passing by or passing through storage facilities.
They contain questions. Yeah.
I've never had one, but
my mom did.
I've watched Storage Wars. Like I know.
They're not the best places. So, you also, like, they get cards and they key entry you into them, too. Which is, okay, so side note, if anybody has a storage unit and knows what I'm talking about, when you have the drive-up ones, not the ones that are in a building, you have, like, key card access for after hours.
Oh, for, like, the 24-hour ones.
Yeah.
That's shady, too, when you're out there at night, but okay.
Yeah. So... Basically, if you want to go more into character development, Sam was a dumbass security guard. He didn't know what he was doing. There was no password on their computer. That's why the guy hacked into it. So he's going to get caught. I just didn't want to say that. He's going to get caught because, one, he left their cars behind. So it had to have happened on the lot or somewhere in the vicinity. And two, it's key card access at night, bitch.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. I'll figure it out.
And he's killed enough people at this point where he's gotten his fulfillment, so he kind of needs to be caught. So that's, you know, where I was with that. I like to set up a lot of, like, details and then, like, finesse the ending, and then I forget why I set the details up.
Cool.
My bad.
But I would love to hear from anyone that listens if they have any storage unit stories they'd like to share with us.
Ooh, yeah.
Creepy shit happens.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever found in a jar?
For fuck's sakes. Or that. But in a jar in a storage unit?
All of it.
But yeah. Tell us your story.
Outro.
Outro. Fuck. So, if you like this story, please check us out on Twitter at TinyMorbid. Or on Instagram and Reddit at Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
To be featured in upcoming episodes, send your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
And if you have any questions or comments, send those too. Send them to the Gmail. Contact us on Instagram. I'm very active.
Yeah. We will read it. It's ours.
And I talk to... I don't know if I talk to fans or not, but I definitely talk to other podcasts that I just love.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
And we have enough viewers. We know you're out there. Listeners? Yeah.
Listeners, they don't...
This is threatening. I don't mean to be threatening. We have enough listeners. We would love to interact with you and engage.
Yeah. So, tell us your storage unit stories.
And, cheers. This is our first drunky episode.
Yeah. We'll open up bottle number two and go on to story number two in the next episode.